Roland, thank you so very much for joining us on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. How are we today?
Absolutely fantabulous. Thank you so very much. So you believe that Durban's heavy reliance on hard infrastructure is in fact at odds with its climate change goals. So how do we design cities that are sustainable, more resilient and caring on the environment?
Definitely. I think it's not just Durban, it's across the country. First, I think it's important to define what do we mean by hard infrastructure. So it's anything from our typical roads to our public spaces to our housing to where we go to work. And what it means is infrastructure that is very unsustainable. And what it means when we have heavy flooding that we did saw in Durban, it really exacerbates the flooding. And it means that despite our policies, because Durban, I must say, has been an early adopter in climate change goals and policies, but when it comes to implementation, it hasn't really done that. So what that looks like is really adopting nature-based solutions. Not using hard infrastructure, green infrastructure. So what that means, it mitigates climate change. And it means also, you know, it saves us money as a city so that we can actually do other things that we look at unemployment and hunger and other crises we have across our urban centers.
Perhaps maybe give us a tangible example. I mean, they are calling for nature-based green infrastructure solutions that can help mitigate and reduce the impact of extreme weather, including the use of permeable pavements and having more green spaces. Like what? Can you just give us an idea? Give us some examples here.
Yes. I mean, a big one is, I think, drainage. So, you know, we use traditional drainage systems as hard infrastructure. What we can do is look at sustainable urban drainage systems that uses nature to absorb the water. Because what we saw with Durban was essentially we had non-permeable pavements, meaning the water has to go somewhere, overflooding our drainage systems, our dams. And then we saw, you know, the flooding really damaging a lot of property and livelihoods. So that's one example. Drainage systems, design of our roads, Durban, as an example, is very urban sprawl. It's very low dense, very car dependent. So if we have more inclusive, more compact, gentle density cities, it means we have less reliance on hard infrastructure. It's more concentrated, but also the spaces between the buildings uses nature-based solutions. I think urban wetlands, parks are also great examples. So it's also the size of our cities, but also then the types of roads we have, public spaces and drainage, which is a big one that we saw and was a big contributor and driver to the flooding we saw as well.
If you are joining us in conversation, 21 minutes after 10, you're listening to the voice of Roland Postma from the Young Urbanists, who joins you as we ask the questions of, do we need to rethink how perhaps cities are designed to be so heavily reliant on infrastructure in light of the significant infrastructure damage in KwaZulu-Natal? And perhaps, how do we create a new infrastructure system that is really not at odds with the climate change goals going forward? Perhaps you have seen some examples in your travels, or you've read about some examples. We'd love to hear from you on 021-446-0567. You know, Roland, I always talk about the difference in price when it comes to fast food and healthy foods. You know we need healthy food, but your fast food is always cheaper. And I know that you cannot give me direct numbers of what it would cost, I mean, if we were to talk or if we were to put the scenario out in KwaZulu-Natal. But would it be more expensive to go greener than it is to go on the sort of infrastructure that is already planned?
I think great question. I think with any expenses, we need to categorize them as short-term, medium-term, and long-term expenses. So to answer that question, I can't give you numbers, correct? But in terms of short-term, it'd be more expensive than your traditional infrastructure that we are building across our cities. That is standard practice. So we need to redefine our practices and really have an honest conversation as city leaders. It will cost more in the short-term, but medium and long-term, it will pay itself back. So not only will world, it means we are not at odds of our climate change goals and policies, but it will actually bring economical benefits, because what we'll have is a city that gives us back more resources. Those waters are not lost. We can use that. We can, the urban heat effect, we can cool our cities. We can walk, you know, less infrastructure on driving and more walking and moving more people faster. So what that means at the end of today is it will give us back and save us money, whether it's the health. So it means less obesity, or it means, not having to spend a lot of money, solving, responding to these kind of flooding we are seeing by having more resilient where we mitigate climate change. So it will cost more, but in the long term, it will save us money, but it'll actually give us back. And I think that's the conversation we need to have as a country, because we are an urbanized country at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I suppose then this should also be seen as a warning for other South African cities to start perhaps the urgent transition to nature-based infrastructure and development solutions to, like we said, mitigate and adapt to climate change.
Definitely. I think you're on the money that this is not a Durban problem. This is a South African problem, whether it's local municipalities across our rural areas, or it's in our big cities. Because the exciting opportunity is this is all within the ambit of our metros. They don't need to rely on national governments. Now, I think the national government is at odds with some of our municipalities, so there needs to be better coordination. But at the end of the day, this can be done now. We don't have to wait another 5 years, and we can start redesigning our roads, our drainage systems, plant more, be more biodiversity friendly, more greenery in our cities. And this will have big impacts, from giving us more oxygen to reducing the urban heat effect, and then also how our cities are designed: less urban sprawl, more inclusive, walkable, cycling-friendly cities, and that will give us a lot back. And we need to really transition from being car-dependent to be more public transportation, walking and cycling. And if we don't do that, we are veering into very dangerous waters as a country.
I was just about to say also, it can't be a them conversation. It has to be a we conversation. The question then becomes, what about us as residents? You know, what can we do?
Well, I think it comes back down to having honest conversation with our political leaders or those in civil society. I think a big problem is what we perceive as issues as a country. Yes, it's unemployment. Yes, it's justice, inequality, apartheid, reconciliation. But we need to also look at these things around climate change, because the people that are most susceptible to climate change is our most vulnerable users in our society. We saw informal settlements in floodplains areas that were most vulnerable to the flooding, and they are our most vulnerable users. So climate change is here, it's real. It affects the poor the most, regional and rural areas. So essentially what we need to do is have honest conversations. We need to talk about what our priorities are, and so that we also need accountability, because Durban was an early adopter and is still one of the leading cities in our country around climate change. But we need to actually start implementing doing those plans. So we can have the plans, but if you don't actually implement them, there needs to be accountability. But I think it's about also a conversation we need to have as a country about what we perceive as our priorities. And once we start doing that, I think we can have results, because we have the plans, we just need to do them.
And the key thing there, like you said, conversation, conversation, conversation. Thank you so very much for joining us on the show, Roland, for this morning. But before I let you go, as we do with every guest on this show, what would be your parting words to the Cape Talk listeners?
First and foremost is that, you know, we can as a country do a lot of things that's within the ambit of our metros. I would believe in a better city, a more caring, a more climate-friendly city. It's possible. We have the research, we have the policies, and just keep massaging away at the problem, and then have a conversation. I think tolerance and being open to these ideas is very important, and we need to also heavily reevaluate our relationship with cars. I think that will be my final one to our listeners.
Thank you so very much for joining us on the show. To you at home at 28 minutes after 10.